hello there. Don't be alarmed. We're just preparing your listening device for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We do this, of course, by filling your radio with water. Don't worry, we're professionals. Thanks to me, you won't even get wet. You see, I've crammed every appendage of my body into the cracks and crevices of your radio, ensuring an airtight seal. By the way, don't touch your on-off knob. That's a very sensitive area. Anyway, I should remind you, we believe in the buddy system just like diving, so don't listen alone. Call your buddy and tell them that Scuba Radio is about to begin.
We're going to start a new life under the sea.
So, am I going to drown?
Of course not. Just stay calm and let the gentle currents relax your every muscle.
Under the sea. Under the sea.
Did it just get warmer?
There'll be no accusations, just friendly crustaceans under the sea.
Where the hell are the sharks?
And now, here's your dive guide for Scuba Radio, Greg the Dive Master.
And welcome. This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. A very special show for you today. We're truly international. You know, last week we had reports from the Russian dive show as Pete from Scuba Board and those folks joined us in the studio to tell us about the diving adventures in Russia. And today's show, we kick it off with an international flair as well. Steven Schrankord is, I know I just butchered your name there, Steven, but he's in Beijing, China. And he's on Scuba Radio right now. How you doing?
Just fine, Greg. Thanks.
So it's Steven Schwankert, right?
Schwankert, yes.
So you don't sound Chinese, I'm guessing. You're not from there, but you're a dive instructor, PADI course instructor in China, like the largest or most popular. Explain there, Steven.
Sure. Sinoscuba is probably Beijing's best-known diving operation. We've been in operation for 5 years now. We just had our fifth anniversary in January. Since then, we've probably had about not quite 1,000 students pass through our doors, but you know, not so bad for a place where even 2 or 3 years ago people would say to me, "Are there any divers in China?" And of course there are. They tend to be concentrated in big cities like Beijing and Shanghai, but also quite a few down south where there's a little more access to water and it's a little bit warmer. So, you know, it's definitely, you know, as far as diving is concerned, China is the place to be. It's a burgeoning market. It has an almost entirely unexplored coastline. So, you know, the time to get wet is now.
Yeah, well, I'm hip. And you know, that's what I've heard, that China is like the dive industry in the States 30 years ago. Is that accurate from what you know now or what?
I would say it's more like the dive industry in the States 40 years ago. Probably in China there's about 25,000 active divers altogether. So if you look at that, you know, based on a population of 1.3 billion people, then it looks like we've still got quite a few tanks to fill. You know, the fact is there are a lot of divers here, and they tend to be very active. There are a lot of divers, both Chinese and foreign. You know, the expatriates here do make up a large part of the diving community and have helped to move it forward. But, you know, now it's really, you know, until a few years ago, until maybe as recently as 5 years ago, Chinese people didn't really swim. And I know that sounds like a sweeping generalization, but it's not, you know, swim lessons just weren't as common for people, you know, until the last 5 or 10 years. So, you know, that kind of, instead of growing up the beach swimming and or swimming a local, you know, a local lake or whatever, that wasn't really part of people's recreational lives until recently. And so now that people have taken that step, they're less afraid of the water. They're going to places where there's diving, where they're swimming, where they're snorkeling, and they're not really as afraid of it as they used to be. So they're much more open to the idea of diving as before. And then, of course, as incomes rise here, you know, people have more disposable income and more time to spend that money, and so they're looking for new interesting things to do. And of course, you know, diving is now there as an option for them.
Well, there you go. For years, you know, in China is like they would eat everything in the sea, and now they want to swim with them too, I guess, is it? Because you guys eat crazy stuff over there.
Well, it's really funny. Where we do most of our diving here, or at least most of our training, is a place called the Blue Zoo Aquarium, and it's really kind of funny because because the average seafood restaurant experience in China is sort of like seafood restaurants in the U.S. where you can walk in and pick your own lobster, except that in China you pick your own everything. You pick your own clams, you pick your own whatever it is. People here like fresh food. They want to make sure that it looks good and that it's still
moving.
You know, that it's still moving. And sometimes when I go to the Blue Zoo, you know, the way that people look at the lobster tank is almost like it's the takeout window.
Yeah.
And it's definitely a shift. Lately things have definitely gotten better. Of course, Yao Ming, the NBA star, who is, you know, just absolutely enormous over here, of course, in both size and in stature, he has recently joined up with Wild Aid to come out against the consumption of shark fin soup, which is a very, very popular and traditional dish here.
Right.
And so people are finally, you know, beginning to appreciate that the stuff that comes out of the water belongs someplace other than on their plate. And that's a real step forward.
By the way, are you trying to get Yao Ming in the aquarium there so you can teach him how to dive, or is he already a diver, or do you know?
That's a good question. I'd have to get a bigger wetsuit, that's for sure. I have bigger wetsuits for stouter folks, but not necessarily taller folks. Just the fact that somebody like that chose to, you know, he could have chosen so many different public projects to get, and so many different charities to get involved with, and for him to get involved with Wild Aid on that issue. I think the thing is, it's not a question of people being malicious or, you know, people not caring. It's just people not knowing, not understanding the impact that catching and killing 100 million sharks a year has, not just on shark populations, but on the oceans at large and their overall health. So, you know, that really is a big step. So, Yao Ming, if you're out there and you're listening to Scuba Radio, thank you.
Yeah, and actually, if you run into him there, Stephen, just tell him, you know, Shaq, we got Shaq certified about 10 years ago out of Orlando. So he's a diver. If we can get Shaq certified, he's like twice the size of Yao Ming, at least in girth. So, you know.
You could have an underwater all-star game.
That's right. There you go. Now you're thinking. Now, let's talk about this dive site. You actually work at an aquarium in Beijing, China, and you take people to dive the aquarium and teach them in the aquarium. What's going on there exactly?
Well, one nice thing about China is that insurance regulations are not quite what they are in the United States. And as such, you know, we have a really great relationship with this aquarium. It's the longest operating of Beijing's three aquariums. Beijing has three aquariums, if you can believe that. It's not the largest, but actually it's a very nice size, and it provides us with excellent confined water training. And, in the beginning, it was just a matter of convenience. We were storing all our gear at the aquarium, and I got tired of hauling it over to one of the nearby pools, which actually wasn't heated. And so one day I just said to the students, you know what, meet me at the aquarium and we'll do it there. And I had been taking people for fun dives there, but the students loved it so much. And it just worked on every level. And so I thought, you know what, this is the way we're going to go. We're going to teach people, you know, here. And the funny thing is, people have come back after getting their open water certification. And when they saw their first shark in the wild, they came back and said to me, you know, I saw a shark and I wasn't scared because we had the interaction here at the tank, and, you know, we saw turtles and I just wasn't afraid of anything because I felt like I had already had that experience and so I knew what to expect.
That's cool.
And that's really great.
Yeah.
Certainly we don't want people going out and being scared of sharks. You know, I mean, the aquarium tends to be very interactive. You know, obviously the animals are accustomed to people, and obviously we don't want people doing that in the wild, but, you know, they've been very good. They've made the distinction and they realize that, you know, that the ocean isn't just a big aquarium. And so it's really been a fantastic experience for us, and I think it has really improved the quality of the experience that people are getting while they're training with us.
Yeah, and I guess you got all kinds of critters in there. You mentioned sharks, turtles, the typical aquarium fare. But what's this email you sent me a couple weeks ago? I mean, we've been interacting via email the last couple months trying to set up an interview here because, you know, he's like 12 hours ahead of us and, you know, he can predict the future or something. I don't know how that works exactly, Stephen, but we've been interacting via email and he emails me this thing like, hey, we got a underwater deer that people are diving in China. And I'm like, what? We got to talk. Is that in the aquarium or what? What's going on?
Well, the underwater deer is a kind of a, whether it actually exists or not, it's a creature that has now taken on a life of its own. The full story is that I led an expedition in August to dive a very large lake in Mongolia. That's, outer Mongolia, the country. And so we went up to this lake called Lake Hovsgol, which holds about 1% of the world's fresh water. So for a body of water that nobody ever heard of before, including me until a couple of years ago, it's quite an important water source on our planet. So I led a team of 10 divers, 5 Americans, and then we also had Australians and Mongolians and a guy from the Czech Republic, and we had an Austrian photographer. And so it was quite a diverse group. We were up there for 2 weeks. We were doing a host of things, including some water quality testing. And we were also looking for, new species of both fish and plants. And also we were looking for human impact on the lake in terms of shipwrecks. And that was probably the area where we were most successful. But one story that we had been told before going up to Mongolia was the local park rangers had said something to two of our guys about this thing that they call the underwater deer. And when we asked them, well, what does that mean? They said, well, it's like a deer that lives underwater.
What?
And that was really the best description that we ever got. And so we, it was funny because on the one hand, we kind of laughed at it like, yeah, ha ha, Loch Ness Monster.
Right.
But I think it also, when we were diving there, when we went up to dive there, I think there was always this kind of slight apprehension in the back of everyone's mind that you'd be swimming through the lake and all of a sudden, this thing with fins and antlers was going to come charging at you. And
I love that.
That always adds an edge to your dive.
I don't doubt that one bit. Now, do you think they were drinking a little bit too much sake when they told you this story, or is this like urban legend kind of stuff?
Good question. The funny thing was, about 6 days into the expedition, we had a guy with us named Greg McCollisek, who is, among other things, is a sonar technician. He was part of a team that discovered a B-29 in Lake Mead a few years back. So Greg certainly knows what he's doing with a sonar set. And he was doing some scanning, and they went over an object that was at about 80 feet of water. And to Greg's trained sonar eye, it looked like a single creature that was about 15 to 20 feet long.
And it had a blinking red nose.
Well, the sonar doesn't show the blinking, but it's quite an interesting sonar scan, that's for sure.
Oh, no doubt about it.
And then when they finished their pass, they turned around and came back, and like any good sonar survey where you're mowing the lawn there, they came back and they hit it again.
Wow.
So,
there's something swimming around there in that lake in Mongolia, and it could be an underwater deer. We just don't know, and you're doing the research and turning the people on to dive. I love that, Stephen. It's great stuff. And I thank you for sharing. By the way, the website, does it have anything on your underwater deer, or is it pretty much sinoscuba.com, sinoscuba.com, about the dive operation at the aquarium and everything?
It's mostly about the aquarium. We've been pushing the story out to a few different outlets. Unfortunately, the U.S. dive magazines haven't really shined on to the underwater deer story, or probably more importantly, the two wooden Russian shipwrecks that we found from the 1920s. But hopefully it'll be out there on the web sooner rather than later. Stay tuned.
I love it. It's good stuff, and obviously that's the kind of story that we definitely usually are ahead of the curve on. But thank you for bringing it to our attention, Stephen. And hey, do stay in touch, because I think that is cool stuff what you're doing, turning the people on to diving in China. And who knows, maybe someday I'll have to come over there and we'll go out and have some seafood and dive the aquarium or something. That sound like a plan?
That'd be great, Greg. I'd be happy to have you.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
Back in the U.S., back in the U.S., back in the USSR.
My name is Sasha, and I love Scuba Radio.
Hey, my name is Anton, and I love Scuba Radio.
I'm Svetlana from the Russian Octopus Magazine. I like Scuba Radio.
My name is Julia. I love Scuba Radio.
Yeah, it's truly a worldwide audience now, thanks to the web, our podcast, and whatnot. We just went from China. We just heard from our friends in Russia. And now let's keep that international flavor kind of flowing here this afternoon. Neil Watson is on the line. How you doing, Neil?
I'm doing great, my friend. How about yourself?
Hey, I'm doing great. And Neil, obviously, a big member of the Bahamas diving community. So let's go to the Bahamas. Matter of fact, that's what we're doing literally right now, because what you're hearing right now was pre-recorded for this Saturday's broadcast. So we could spend the spend the afternoon, the weekend in paradise on a, what is it, a Luthra, Cape Luthra, new property
there? Cape Luthra, Powell Point. 4,500 acres being developed. The marina was just finished. They have this really cool island school, which is environmental college type deal that is U.S. accredited, very green, and some of the most spectacular diving in all of the Bahamas. I mean, I'm just blown away by Luthra. And by the way, I talked to my buddy Dan Orr from Oceanic, and he is.
You mean Dan Emke?
Dan Emke.
Yes.
Dan Emke. Getting my Dan's mixed. Dan Emke from Oceanic is FedExing us two of the newest models of the heads-up display mask to play with over there. So we're going to have some fun.
Nice. So the Oceanic data mask is on its way. So we're going to get a play with that. And next week on the show, you'll hear our full review of the resort, of the equipment, and just paradise. If it's... But from your reputation, Neil, I have no doubt that this is going to be one of those lost weekends and just a little piece of paradise, right?
I do understand there's going to be some mermaid sightings.
Yes, we're bringing them. What are we without our mermaids, you know?
Exactly. What's a dive trip without mermaids?
I mean,
you started a whole new trend, Gregory.
Well, you know, we're getting into this whole visual experience thing on the web there at scubaradio.com, and God knows the listeners don't want to see me. So they wanted some video here from our little adventure to Cape Luthra, so we said, okay, we'll bring a couple mermaids, shoot some video, then everybody can actually see some of the stuff we're talking about here on the show next week. That sound like a good plan, Neil?
Sounds like a plan. Our buddy John Day is bringing a guitar, you know, for entertainment, and we got John and John, the two pilots that are going to fly us over on private planes, so it should be a hoot.
Yeah, we got three Johns and two mermaids. That sounds like a lethal combination or something.
And a Neil.
And a Neil. Surely that's going to get us arrested or deported or something. I don't know. But explain to everyone who doesn't know, and this includes me, unfortunately, because I haven't been there, but Cape Luthra, is that the name of the island or is that the name of the property or what exactly?
Well, it's Cape Luthra at Powell Point. Powell Point is the area on south of Luthra that Cape Luthra is at. It's the southernmost, almost the southern tip of Luthra, which is one of the longest islands in the Bahama chain. It's actually it's just east of the Exuma chain in the Bahamas, and it's right. I mean, the wall is 5 minutes from the dock, and I think I talked about this before. They're building this incredible. It's an underwater aqua pen where they're going to raise Lake Cobia. And already it is an amazing dive site. It's in about 90 feet of water, right adjacent to a beautiful coral reef and a spectacular wall. And they're going to have this gigantic enclosure with hundreds of thousands of cobia inside of this thing that the divers will be able to go out and swim on. And outside of the pen, it attracts the most incredible marine life you've ever seen.
I don't doubt it. Yeah, they're checking out that fish saying, oh, gosh, I want to eat you. And they just show up to kind of watch the show, I guess. Like, it's like an underwater aquarium for fish, isn't it?
Absolutely.
So we get to go down and scope that situation out.
We're going to do some of the walls, which actually when I was over on the AquaCat last month, we did that general area and did some walls. There's some great swim-throughs where you come down and come out, you know, a hole in the wall, and you're right on the side of this, you know, just sheer abyss, drops down thousands of feet. Just very cool. We're going to have a great time.
Not to mention
the units are absolutely spectacular. They're about $800,000 a piece.
All right, hold on, Neil. Okay, well, I want to hear more about this, so stay close. We got more coming up on the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio. Radio.
Scuba.
Scuba Radio.
Here at Scuba Radio, we've been fans of Force Fins for years. With over 12 styles and just about every color imaginable, Force Fins are in a league of their own. Now, they aren't the biggest company out there, just the best. So sometimes Force Fins are hard to find. That's why we've made the whole line of Force Fins available on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Order yourself a pair today, and they'll be delivered right to your door and be ready for your next dive. That's the merchandise page at scubaradio.com.
On the line with us is Neil Watson, the depth and distance world record holder for scuba diving. He's also the president of the Bahamas Diving Association. Neil, just what is it about the Bahamas that makes diving there so attractive?
Greg, one of the unique features is our diversity. We're 100,000 square miles, literally 50 miles from the U.S. mainland, whether it's sharks, wrecks, reefs, walls. We have everything that any diver and even a non-diving spouse could ever want for a dive destination.
You can start planning your Bahamas adventure at BahamasDiving.com. The Bahamas, our 700 islands, could change you forever. To the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg, the Dive Master, and on the line is Neil Watson, close personal friend from the Bahamas. He's actually in Fort Lauderdale right now, but believe it or not, by the magic of tape and digital recording equipment, we are actually in the Bahamas together right now, and you're hearing a pre-recorded show today, so we could do just that and spend the weekend at Cape Eleuthera, a new facility for divers and for boaters, for that matter, in off the Eleuthera chain there in the Bahamas. Right, Neil?
We are in the Bahamas at Cape Eleuthera. And it's very close to click o'clock, time for our first Bahamian beer.
Exactly. And, well, I have a feeling it isn't the first right about now. It's way too late in the afternoon for that.
Yeah.
But let's talk about the property itself. And, of course, once again, we'll have the entire show broadcast from the island next week on the show. But a little preview of what we're going to encounter is what we're delving into right now. What is it, a marina facility or what?
It's going to be a 4,500-acre complex with hotels and golf courses. Right now, the first phase is done. We've got the marina open, which is absolutely spectacular. We've got the face dock is 400 feet long, which means it can accommodate any mega yacht, and it's deep water. We've got about 12 units, and each one right on the marina. Each one of these units are spectacular. They face the marina from one side and the ocean on the other, and they're two bedroom with full kitchens and living rooms, and like I say, they go for about $800,000 a piece. Actually, they originally were going to sell them, and they decided to keep them so they would have control of them, and they would have to worry about the owners whether they wanted to rent it or not. So we're maintaining possession of the units. We've got a great dive facility. Just got a boat over about 3 months ago, all brand new gear, new air system, and the diving is just, like I say, five minutes from the dock, you're on the wall.
Sounds awesome. CapeAleuthera.com. Check it out on the web, and remember to join us next week for an entire broadcast from Cape Eleuthera right here on the world's first radio show devoted to diving. More coming up.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
Scuba Radio. Scuba Radio.
Prepare to rig for dive!
Your surface interval is complete. You're now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
Hi.
Hey. I don't even know where to start with this one. Take a look at that. A scuba diver up a tree.
Wow. How the hell did he get up there?
You couldn't have climbed up there with all that crap on.
Got up there somehow.
Well, you know, Lake Mead is just over the hill and the copters are dropping water.
I'm a scuba diver, I got a lot of gear. A regulator and a fishing spear. A PC, a compass, a diving watch. A bang stick that hangs between my crutch. My weight belt snorkel, prescription mask. My super jet fins, I go real fast. I go real fast, I go real fast. I'm a scuba diver and it's a gas.
Yeah, actually, I'm a scuba diver. I am also a paddy dive instructor, as well as your host, Greg the Dive Master, right here on Scuba Radio. One of my students is on the line right now, and that would be Mermaid Nikki. How you doing, Nikki?
Good, good, good. Did you say a fatty dive instructor?
No, a paddy.
Oh, okay.
Because
it's not like you said fatty.
No. You know, you're just on this whole health kick, because you're on your way to the gym right now, aren't you, Nikki?
Well, I thought that maybe you were feeling a little fatty or something.
No, actually, I just got back from the dock. I lost 6 pounds. Sweet!
What?
Yeah, I just lost 6 pounds. I did my yearly checkup, you know, where it's a good little doobie diver. You should go and, you know, have a physical once a year. And I just got back from my little physical today, and the doc said, hey, Greg, you're in good shape. You actually lost 6 pounds compared to last year. I said, really? I was a, what was I, some kind of big fat cow last year or something?
Maybe 6 pounds of muscle.
Yes. What? Wait. That isn't what you're supposed to say, Nikki. Come on now.
I mean, yeah, it was totally 6 pounds of fat. You're ripped to shreds.
Mermaid Nikki, you gotta love her. So you're on the way to the gym. You're trying to stay fit for diving. That's why you're doing that, right?
I'm working on my fitness.
You're working on your fitness, and I forget the way the rest of the song goes.
He's my witness.
That's right.
He's my witness.
And, there you go. All right, there. Oh yeah, I'm liking. I'm digging it. There you go. That's right. All right. So anyway, that's it. You are, because as my dive student, one of the things I have drilled home to you is that you need to stay fit for diving. Correct. And so that's why you're going to the gym right now. Correct. Right. Come on.
That is 100% why
yes.
I'm going to the gym right now.
You get a gold star, my young grasshopper. Now, actually, yeah, you just got your PADI Advanced Open Water Certification card there when we were at the Chicago Dive Show, Our World Underwater. And now we're taking you into Rescue Diver, and you got to do an EFR course, Emergency First Response, so you can actually, you know, get the skills necessary to save a life. How do you feel about that?
I think it's pretty awesome, Greg. I'm really excited about it.
I can tell. I really can tell.
I'm super excited.
Yes. But yeah, it is important to stay fit for diving. It is something we drill home. So that's what you're doing. You're going to the gym. And it, I don't know, it may have something to do with your whole mermaidnikki.com stuff and all this modeling and things you do on the side, too. But
yeah, I don't want to be a fatty diver.
You know, you don't want to be a fatty diver. You want to be a paddy diver.
Yeah.
Yeah, actually, you could never be a fatty diver. Come on, Nikki.
What? Anybody can be a fatty diver.
If they just let themselves go. Is that what you're trying to say?
Indeed.
All right. Well, not if they're good divers, because you do. You got to look out for number one, and you got to stay fit so you don't have problems. And then that way, your dive buddy will feel better because you'll be in good shape, and you can save them if they have a if they have an issue, right?
Correct.
You want me to stay in shape so I can save you if we have any issues, right? When we're diving together.
Yes.
Yeah, she doesn't. She doesn't want me to be a fatty diver.
You want to talk diving or tell Greg the Dive Master he's all wet? Then call Scuba Radio now at 1-888-88-SCUBA.
Hey, diver, you just completed your scuba course. What do you want to do now?
I want to go to Hawaii.
Take a dive on the wild side with Ocean Concepts. Your one-stop dive shops on Oahu for action, adventure, fun, and great value. Ocean Concepts is the premier PADI 5-star career development center in Hawaii and guarantees the highest level of professional service during your stay. Whether it's daily boat or beach diving, or if you want to finish up your dive training in paradise, Ocean Concepts Hawaii is the answer. Call 800-808-DIVE. That's 800-808-DIVE or go to oceanconcepts.com.
Hey, there are a lot of places you could pick for your next dive.
The Great Barrier Reef.
Cozumel.
The Red Sea.
Indonesia.
Cayman.
My swimming pool.
But now there's a new place you'll want to think about. A beautiful island that's not hard to get to. Unspoiled. Not expensive. rustic, real. A full-service resort. Friendly, really friendly. Great dive masters. Everything you need. And the diving. Whoa, amazing diving. The third largest barrier reef in the world. Caverns, blue holes, walls, big fish, and sharks.
All right already. What is this place?
Thought you'd never ask. I'm talking about the newest dive site in the Bahamas. Coral Caverns Dive Resort on Andros Island. Coral Caverns Dive Resort. Hey, my time's about up, so just go to coralcavernsresort.com. Find out about where you'll be on your next dive trip. Get off the beaten track and get into some real diving. coralcavernsresort.com.
Are you ready for liveaboard diving at its best? Well, then you're ready for Explorer Ventures. Explore the Bahamas, the Northeast Caribbean, Turks and Caicos, Australia's Great Barrier Reef, even the Galapagos, all while enjoying the comfort, convenience, and effortless diving only an Explorer Ventures award-winning liveaboard can provide. Explorer Ventures has been making divers' dreams come true for 20 years now, and yours could be next. Call 1-800-322-3577 or go to explorerventures.com. That's explorerventures.com.
Scuba Radio, Divers Consumer Tip number 61. It is currently against many nations' maritime regulations to play a casual game of spin the bottle, nose dolphin.
That wasn't a bit nice.
So now, here's a Dan safety tip you can really use.
And yes, that means it's time for the real Dan Good Diving Safety Tip. And in the studio is Jeff Myers, COO and Vice President of Training for Divers Alert Network. You look thoughtful today, Jeff.
Probably because I was just thinking.
About anything in particular?
You ever notice how many signals are out there to help us through our day?
Not really.
Think about it. Everywhere you look, there are signals, some subtle, some not, to help communicate what's going on around you. Street signs, traffic lights, calendar alarms. There are tons of them incorporated into our everyday lives, and they've all become important to us.
Kind of like signaling devices are important to divers?
You saw where I was going with that, huh?
We'll call it one of the not subtle signals.
Well, I appreciate you picking it up just the same. But yes, signaling devices are an extremely important aspect of diving, and divers need to know why, as well as what their options are.
Let's start with the why.
Signaling devices are important because they serve a variety of purposes. They allow divers to communicate up close and at a distance, both on the surface and at depth.
All at the same time?
Wise guy. No, it's not likely you'll be doing all those things at once, but having the proper signaling devices close to hand will allow you to be able to communicate in most situations.
What kind of signaling devices are available?
Well, I'd have to say that visual markers are the front runners when it comes to common usage. Dive lights and tank markers are standard gear on night dives or dives with low visibility. They provide an easy way to keep an eye on your buddy's position or to ensure you don't lose the group. Attaching a marker to the anchor or scent line can also be helpful in finding your way back at the end of the dive.
Being in Florida, there's a lot of diving done from shore and private boats, and because of it, I see a lot of floats, flags, and buoys.
All of those are familiar sights, and each serves an important purpose. They indicate the presence of divers below, so other boats or water sports enthusiasts know to watch out for them.
What about visual markers for emergency use?
There are a lot of BCDs out there with signaling mirrors in the pockets, and safety sausages are increasingly considered standard safety gear.
Well, they're not just useful in emergency situations. I know a lot of divers who use safety sausages as buoy markers, drift dive markers, and even secondary lift bags.
Yeah, they're pretty versatile.
All of these items are considered visual signaling devices. What other kinds are there?
Probably the next most popular items are the sound-based signaling devices.
You mean like the whistle we're taught to carry from day one?
Exactly. It can be something as simple as that, or other options that are integrated into your equipment. There are a number of options out there, and more appear every year.
I'd say there's one more category I'd call the high-tech category.
For those who want to carry them, yes, there are more and more high-tech options available. Many of these work on frequencies by which transmitters with the diver send signals back to the boat for easy tracking. These devices tend to be much more expensive, although it's exciting to see new technology developing.
You weren't kidding when you said there were a lot of options.
There are a lot of options, but they all have one thing in common. They allow divers to communicate what's going on with them. They can alert others to a diver's position, or they can signal distress and trigger assistance. They can help you navigate or simply keep track of a buddy. Because of the many functions they serve, the importance of signaling devices can't be denied.
Whether you like to be seen or heard, don't be shy when it comes to diving signaling devices. Choose the option that works for you and make sure your message is heard. Do that and you're guaranteed Dan Good Diving.
That was beautiful.
Only you can prevent diving accidents. Ah! Divers Alert Network is your dive safety organization.
With your support, Dan will continue to provide the research, service, and benefits to make your next dive a safe dive. So don't be a dinghy. Join Dan today by calling 1-800-446-2671.
Now, I mentioned earlier that we actually are taping today's show, so what you're hearing is pre-recorded because we're in the Bahamas enjoying ourselves, and next week you'll hear that entire broadcast from the islands. However, since that show is on tape as well, that doesn't mean we're stopping. We're not diving. We are diving because next Saturday, literally a week from today, we will be at 40 Fathom Grotto enjoying ourselves at the first official Scuba Radio Weenie Roast, and we may even bring some hot dogs. Pete is online to help me out with this goofy little event we're putting together at 40 Fathom Grotto. How you doing, Pete?
I'm doing great. How you doing, Greg?
Now, we mentioned this last week with Bob Evans from Force Fins because he's coming out to do a little Force Fin demo. Just the fact that he's coming out and hanging with us is going to be an event in itself, don't you think, Pete?
You know, anytime you hang with Bob and Hal Watts, it's got to be fun.
No question about it. He's coming in at what, Friday or Saturday morning or something, and you guys are doing something at Wiki Watchy on Saturday during the day. Is that correct?
That's correct. We're doing the 1-2 punch here with Bob. I just had surgery on my ankle, and he thinks his Force Fins are what the doctor really ordered. So Saturday we're going to have the doctor do the surgery on my ankle, Bob and Hal at Wiki Watchy, testing out new fins and seeing what's going to work with my ankle. And then the next day, we're going to do some actual dives there in the grotto and get to check that place out. Boy, that place has sure changed.
Yeah, no question about it. It's, Ray Black, part of the TeamScuba.com race team, has taken it over for Hal, or the day-to-day operations. And, man, they really have kicked it up a notch, so to speak, as far as the facility for divers, I think. And
it's amazing.
I had never been there before. I had always wanted to go, and I finally went a couple weeks ago. But even though I had not been there before, I was shocked at the quality of the facility for divers. And the fact is, it's all new decking and facilities and accommodations. You could actually take a tent there and camp if you want to. All you have to do is contact them there at 40 Fathom Grotto, and they can hook you up. By the way, how do you feel about this Force Fin thing? Because you know, I've had Force Fins for years, and I got to tell you, I know that Bob's onto something there. Because you hurt your Achilles heel or something down there,
Achilles
in your ankle.
Tendon.
Yeah, the tendon, and the way his fins operate, they don't use the typical foot part where it would affect your tendon. You use the entire leg muscle the way he has his foot pockets designed. Is that what he's kind of told you and said, hey, we got to try this, and this will work much better for you, Pete?
Well, he's not only told that, but my doctor has told me that as well. I have to admit that when you look at the fins, it makes you want to giggle. And Greg, I've had to say I've laughed at you a couple times as you've hit the water.
Yeah, but that had nothing to do with my fins, did it? I mean, I get that reaction no matter what kind of fins I'm wearing. But yeah, you know, they do. They definitely look unique. And, I actually look at that as a plus, though, to be honest with you, because they end up being a conversation piece. Because people see on the dive boat in your Force Fins, and they're short and more triangular, more like a whale tail type of design. And people look at them like, what the heck are you wearing? And then you start talking to them and say, well, these work for me, and they're actually very comfortable. And then they see how I can maneuver on the dive deck much easier than they can in their super long fins. And guess who's laughing at who then? Hello?
Exactly.
Exactly. All right, hold on. I want to talk to you more about this Scuba Radio Weenie Roast and Force Fin Demo Day at 40 Fathom Grotto.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
You didn't go cheap when you purchased your dive equipment and photo gear, so don't make that mistake when it comes to protecting your investment. Ask for Storm Case by name at your local dive center. These high-performance waterproof art cases come in just about every size and shape imaginable. Storm Cases are stronger, lighter, more secure, and feature pain-free press-and-pull latches that are twice as strong as the knuckle-buster designs of their competitors. Don't settle for anything less. Go to StormCase.com and ask for Storm Case by name at your local dive center.
I'm always the first to run low on air.
I'm adjusting my BCD all the time.
It feels that I spent half my dive swimming back to the dive boat and on the surface.
You can learn to improve your diving so that you can feel more confident with your skills and more comfortable in the water thanks to the Professional Association of Dive Instructors. Peak Performance Buoyancy and the Navigation Specialty Course are just a few of the many PADI offerings to consider. Visit PADI.com to find the PADI Dive Center nearest you. PADI, the way the world learns to dive.
I heard a show
on the radio.
Where divers speak about,
what's
in the sea.
What's in the sea?
Now I know. It was the first show
devoted
to diving. We all listen to Scuba Radio.
That's right.
Scuba Radio.
Everybody.
Scuba Radio.
Yes.
We all listen to Scuba Radio.
Get down.
Scuba Radio.
And welcome back to the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Coming up in hour two, by the way, before I forget, we're going to talk to Clay from Explorer Ventures. I'm heading to Australia. Yes, I'm going to the other side of the planet. And we got a little preview of some of the dive opportunities that Explorer Ventures is making available to moi, as well as you, if you want to take a part in these festivities. That's hour two on deck. But Pete Murray from Scuba Board, better known as NetDoc on the board, is on the line with me. We're getting ready for next week's big event at 40 Fathom Grotto. If you want to join us, all you got to do is go to 40fathomgrotto.com. That's the number 40. fathomgrotto.com, and you can get information about the site and all that kind of stuff. And by the way, is there things on Scuba Board about the event you're doing at Weeki Wachee on Saturday and 40 Fathom Grotto on Sunday, or what, Pete? What are you doing?
It sure is. Both of the events, the Saturday and the Sunday event, are on there. You can sign up. You can pay. In fact, we just started a new reservation system just for this, Greg.
Did you? What are you calling it? I'm calling our thing Saturday night, at least, at 40 Fathom Grotto, the unofficial Scuba Radio Weenie Roast. And we're going to have hot dogs, too.
We're calling it Force Fins Gear Day.
Okay, Force Fin Gear Day, probably a more politically correct way to phrase the situation. Yeah, so it's basically a Force Fin demo day kind of at Weeki Wachee on Saturday, and then we're going to kind of do it again at 40 Fathom Grotto on Sunday, right?
That's exactly right.
What are you looking forward to the most? Do you know what kind of fins that Bob is planning to equip you in, or no?
He has got me, he wants to put me in these accelerators. I do a lot of frog kick. In fact, when people dive with me, they're pretty amazed that I hardly ever do the flutter kick. I'm always doing the frog kick, and that's because I hate to silt things up. So he wants to put me in that because it's the best frog kicking fin that he has.
Yep, I have those. Those are really nice. I've been diving with my Scuba Radio Flying Force fins for the last couple of years because they're small, compact, tight, and unique in that he only made 50 pair of them. However, next weekend at 40 Fathom Grotto, he's made up a special batch that he's going to reintroduce the Scuba Radio Flying Force Fin at the grotto. So if you want to try these, they'll be there on Sunday for people to try out and maybe even purchase if you like. But the bare minimum, it's going to be a great social event for divers. That's next Saturday at Weeki Wachee Springs in Central Florida, and then 40 Fathom Grotto on Sunday. All right?
It'll be fun.
It's going to be a blast. All right, hour two is on deck. Stay close to the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
Scuba Radio.
This seems the logical place for fish to congregate.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past editions of Scuba Radio worldwide over the internet at scubaradio.com.
So we're in international waters?
Indeed so.
Tell a friend and buddy up with your radio every week for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Well, it's all very nice here, but we should be going. I miss me wife and me oxygen.
Yes, we all miss our loved ones and gases. Let's go.
The opinions you just heard on Scuba Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
Okay, you know, what I just heard,
blah, 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 blah.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
Come on, quit yanking me.
Scuba diving does involve risk and should never be conducted without proper instruction and training.
Oh, what's the worst thing that could happen?
I could die.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at scubaradio.com.